can count. You know, when I get over six, I've got to use my other hand.
There is the opportunity through this secrecy, through the hierarchy system. There is room for corruption. But it has to be said, China has the resources, human resources, and the political power to be able to generate movements, economies, systems that will really help them and help the rest of the world.
We're here to break down the big issues into bite-sized chunks, and one of the biggest contributing factors to those conversations is you, the listener. You're sending us in questions to debate, not often debate, though it's on the tin there, but often discuss and chew over and really get down to the nitty-gritty of the question you've asked us. And we often are going to try and reach for an action as well. This is the People's Countryside Environmental Debate Podcast. Thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate everybody who's listening to this episode, especially anybody who's currently sitting in their, probably in their front room with a newspaper in Little Whitnam. Anyway, I'm William Mankler. I'm one of the co-hosts of this podcast. I'm a photographer. One of my challenges recently, well, I've had a bit of a personal challenge over the last month or so, and it's still ongoing. But one of my biggest challenges as a photographer, and this may sound like a bit of a strange one, being a photographer, is keeping my creativity going and keeping my photographic eye keen and sharp. So I try to get out with my camera as much as possible. And often I might just actually photograph stuff in my things in my flat just to keep myself going. And I took some photographs of my cat this morning. Who's alongside me as always?
I'm Stuart the Wild Man Mabbott. I've been a wildlife gardener for, I thought about this the other day, coming up for 35 years. And I make nature part of people's daily life in the meagre hope that it will make them want to protect it.
35 years? I was still at primary school 35 years ago.
Yeah, I know. Well, there you go. But as William said, we try and break down the big issues. And something we've been, a challenge that we've had before Christmas, we had a set of interns with us from Oxford University who were trying to streamline our Patreon page. This is somewhere you can go to help fund this podcast. You get some behind the scenes work if you want it. And one thing they were coming up with was having goals on that page, where if we meet a certain amount of subscribers or we get to a certain target, a new piece of behind the scenes material will then be released or something like that. So
yes.
So we're more goal centered. So we're going into 2023 thinking about goals. We ended 2022 watching goals going in at the World Cup. Now we're thinking about our own goals with this podcast. You see what I did there?
No, not really, because you don't really like football. So
no,
I'm not
don't.
Entirely sure you've brought it into this podcast no. episode.
Anyway, so...
Yeah, it's patreon.com/People's Countryside before Stuart continues.
Yeah. So we have the conversations that need having. We don't always debate. We often just have a conversation. We're not experts. We're just two ordinary guys being thrown questions by you, the listener, and listeners. And you're taking us away from the countryside a bit. You're taking us towards six main themes, William. What are they?
Oh, my goodness me.
Because every question we get asked...
Social justice.
...seems to relate to this. Go on.
Nature. Philosophy. Climate. Human condition. What's the sixth one?
Yeah. It's the social justice, nature, philosophy, human condition, climate, sustainability.
I mean, sustainability this time.
He really struggles with sustainability.
It's every time I choose a different one. I was writing the list out yesterday and I think I missed out the human condition last time. So it's not the same one every time.
So we have a question today from Oxfordshire.
It's because it's six.
Yeah.
Why can't it be five or ten? You know, I can then count. You know, when I get over six, I've got to use my other hand. Anyway.
Maybe you need to ask the count on Sesame Street.
One.
Six.
No, he did. I think I remember rightly. He used to do a ha for every number. So it was one ha, two ha, ha, three ha, ha, ha. And he looks like Jim Rosenthal. But anyway, moving on. Spitting image.
Yeah.
So the question, I actually sort of teased it a little bit right at the start of the intro. The question is from Kenny in Little Whitnam, Oxfordshire, England. It's a village in Oxfordshire. nice part of the world, actually. I live in lovely Whitnam. I might have mentioned that in...
Where to go in Oxfordshire.
Where to go in Oxfordshire. Yeah. I think that was one of them I mentioned. So Kenny's question, China has gone for a testing instead of a vaccination approach to try and beat COVID. This means there's an immune disparity between China and the rest of the world. Do you think China's borders will ever open again how they were, or an opportunity to be more insular? Is this more, you know, this is an opportunity to be more insular? Mm. It's a big question about China in particular.
I think China, I got a number of Chinese friends who are very respectful of their leaders because, you know, it might be a communist state, but the poor generally get richer under their system. They have this belief that their leaders, even though they're secret, have their own interests at heart. You know, knowing these Chinese people, they truly believe that. But also being on the outside, I'm also aware of an alternative narrative. But I'm also aware of how much of that is propaganda from people who are trying to destroy China. Now, I do think when you look at China, there is the opportunity through this secrecy, through the hierarchy system, there is room for corruption and mistruth and misleading. But it has to be said, China has the resources, human resources, and the political power to be able to generate movements, economies, systems that will really help them and help the rest of the world. Now, whether or not, the method of that power is given out fairly, that's a different discussion. But I just wanted to put that in context, to talk about China as in, you know, let's put aside our own views of it. Is it good that they had a testing instead of a vaccination approach? But they do have a vaccination, but in theory, it's not as good as ours. When they went for that, and when we all went for our systems, when we all went for our approaches, all the different countries, we all went for different things. Mm. It's very, very easy to castigate. Because you could say the Danes, that they had the best approach. It's very easy to castigate the British government saying they did it wrong. But in reality, they did have to make decisions in the here and now during the COVID situation without knowing where it was going. Mm. So, and whether or not them was right or wrong, I'm not sure. But, you know, at the time I did think, well, they're not going, China's not going for vaccination. They were going for herd immunity. I did think there was, because it was so different to the rest of the world, if there would be a disparity at that point.
But the question touches upon them being insular.
Yeah.
Can you really be an insular country these days, considering the globality, or how global the country, global the world is? You know, how interconnected we all are. Mm. I mean,
What Kenny says is this means there's an immune disparity between China and the rest of the world. That could be the case because then they're not taking the vaccine. There's also the argument that because the virus is allowed just to do its thing, and it's the West feels that I've seen some data where the Chinese government says one on a particular day one person died of COVID in China, and the West, which is us, where we said 9,000 people died on that day. I would probably err on the side of caution and say it was somewhere in the middle. So I do think there's more deaths in China than it's being told about. And China's a vast country. And the risk is because it's being spread so quickly, you could get a new variant come out of that by having people immune, having inoculations and stuff, vaccines. You slow down the volume of people, so you slow down the speed that a virus can mutate.
I thought that the COVID vaccination isn't an immunization. It actually vaccinates you to actually help you cope better.
With the virus. Shouldn't use the word immune.
Yeah, but I think that comes from how vaccinations are perceived. That all vaccinations are immunizing you against something. Mm. I think, as far as I'm aware, at least, and I don't know what the China vaccination is. I can imagine it's the same as other ones. Is that it's actually you will still get it, but it won't be life-threatening. Mm. So I've had COVID myself. I'm fully what you could class as fully vaccinated for my health group, my health condition, as in who I am right now, and my age group, because you would have had more vaccinations than I would have had, Stuart, for example, because you're in a different category than I am.
I've had five.
Yeah, I've had three. Three. But as far as I'm aware, it is definitely it nullifies a lot of the worst effects of the virus. Mm. And in that sense, the virus is a bit like, it's becoming a little bit like the flu. I'm not going to compare it to the flu. It's a different virus, but it becomes a virus that is there that we have to live with.
Yeah, that doesn't mutate. It does mutate, but not drastically.
Maybe that's what the Chinese authorities are thinking about, because they're going for herd immunity, not vaccination.
But the grey area is where the societies interconnect. So you've got the border crossings.
Yes.
So you've then got the... Obviously, you've got the rest of the world concerned about this. The rest of the world are concerned that the Chinese aren't being honest with the data they're giving out.
Yes.
The Chinese might be more honest than they're given credit for.
Yes.
But they're a little bit... Because they're insular and they're protectionist. Mm. They might, you know... So I think all parties are as bad as each other.
Yes.
You know?
Well, there's been controversy about, you know, Chinese visitors coming to Italy and the UK, where they're being tested and being managed, almost like mandatory tests when they come into the country, which you can kind of understand with that response, because if you feel that you're not being told the truth, you're going to be wary of that institute, that country, aren't you?
Yeah. But then don't take that wariness too far.
Yes.
But then the Chinese have a responsibility of saying, the rest of the world are wary of us. Yes. We want to keep things, we want to be insular, we want to be self-sufficient. Because if they might be wanting to do that for corrupt reasons, or they might want to do it just for political control reasons. Yeah. But there's a consequence of that. So all parties need to look at that.
I remember when COVID really was first around, and how many people that I saw, and people in my own circles and family, were saying it's the Chinese virus, and they were almost like saying that the Chinese, you know, if they die from COVID, it's tough luck. It was their responsibility in the first place, which is true, because it is in the sense of it being from China, but you can't label every, you can't put it on, pin on every single Chinese person.
No.
Can you? There's a lot of them.
Anyway, so this question was sent in well before Christmas. The last part of Kenny's question is, do you think China's borders will ever open again how they were? Well, they are opening again, you know, there's this grey area of suspicion, and you know, it's a little bit toxic.
I would say one of the biggest stumbling blocks to get to China right now is another certain country that is in the way. You cannot guess what country that would be.
Russia.
Exactly. Yeah, you can't overfly Russia right now, and getting to China is actually very difficult.
Yeah. So then the last part of the last sentence is: is this an opportunity, effectively, for the Chinese to become more insular? Because they can close their borders. The population might be a bit nervous. You know, I'm not sure how much in China they're hearing about the rest of the world didn't take their approach. Who knows? We don't know what each other's being told.
I mean, I would say
it is an opportunity for unhealthy insularness.
Yeah, and that could also come from the state, and it'll be more powerful if it comes from the state. But I might actually argue that it actually could even be more powerful if it comes from the individual. Mm. So if you see on the news, or you want to say you live in China and you want to go to Italy. Oh, I really want, I've always wanted to visit Italy. And then you go and look at the news, or go and look at the website of we're visiting there. Well, I have to go through all of that to get there.
Mm.
And they're only doing it to China. Well, I don't want to go there then.
Yeah.
You know, so it kind of puts a barrier up, doesn't it? I can understand why that barrier is there, but you know, that insularity—that's another word I've made up—could easily come from an individual as much as the actual party and the those in power.
It's a little bit like North Korea. A lot of that is corrupt. I mean, a lot of the lead. There's a mountain right in the north of North Korea that the current president of North Korea and his father said they were born at this mountain, and it's a very religious site and it's worshipped. But there's a rumour that the current leader of North Korea, his dad, was actually born in a part of Russia. Anyway, so there is room for corruption. And when you actually go to, I think it's Pyongyang, the capital.
Pyongyang, yes.
There is some development going on in them recently. And I think there is a decision to be made about, you know, integrating with the rest of the world or not. And I think that's somewhere China is at on a much grander scale. We have to stop being suspicious, even though there is a lot of there is some stuff to be suspicious about. But I think China needs to take a step as well. But as I said at the top of this, China has the volume of people, has the political control, has the resources to actually be able to, for humanity, make massive strides if it wanted to.
Yeah, because they've got the power there. It's the same with the USA, actually.
Yeah. So if we wanted to set an action, mine is just be aware of subliminal bias against Chinese people you might bump into because of the media coverage you read about China as a whole. Because I know a lot of Chinese people. I'd say a couple of them are, you know, relatively friends with. And, you know, you listen to them and they're very respectful of their leaders, whether or not that's right or wrong. You know, and that's their culture.
And how different is that to being deferential, doffing the cap to the Queen and the King? Yeah. How different is it really in some ways? I would go a step further and actually look beyond the nationality of somebody as well. The nationality always feeds into who that person is, and they might be proud of that nationality. But that's just another facet of their personality. Look beyond it. That's my action today.
The People's Countryside Environmental Debate Podcast tries to be a friend in your ear during these challenging times. And we try and be a world-scale podcast with a local feel. And we try and challenge mindsets, habits and beliefs. I think this question from Kenny actually helps us achieve that.
Yes, yes, indeed. And I've just thought, actually, one thing we haven't mentioned so far, we've hit a landmark very recently, haven't we?
Oh, what, on Christmas Eve?
Yes, what was the landmark, Stuart?
Land's End? Oh, no. It was 100,000 total listens.
Yeah.
And a lot of those came last year, actually.
They did, yes. So everybody who's listened to this podcast, you've made that possible. We thank you so much. I mean, numbers are, at the end of the day, just numbers. But it shows you, whilst you're listening to this episode, you're part of a big community already. This is a growing community of people. So share this podcast with five of your friends, or five people, particularly if you have friends from China. I'm now thinking of a joke by Tim Vine, which I'm not going to say because I can't remember it verbatim.
I wouldn't.
It's a very funny joke.
But today is the 5th of February, and on New Christmas Eve, we hit 100,000 listens. I've not looked, but I think we're going to be about 105,000, 106,000. So it gives you an idea of how many people are listening.